Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network.
Who are we leaving it up to, the winners or the losers?
What is up, everybody?
You know, I'm a fun guy.
That's music to my ears.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in downtown Portland, Oregon.
It was really good to see him play like we know he can.
I know things about football.
We're finding our way.
This is the Game On Podcast with Marcus Greaves.
Sports, sports, and yes, more sports.
Yeah, and we're going to get down to business.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Game On Podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. Hopefully you guys are staying safe and staying healthy. On this last episode of the Game On Podcast, we just talked about Game 6 for the Blazers, the loss of the Nuggets, ending their season. On top of that, the Blazers parting ways with head coach Terry Stotts. It now means the coaching search is on. We heard from GM Neil Olshey yesterday. I'm recording this on a Tuesday midday. We heard from him yesterday on Monday, and it was quite the interesting press conference. A lot of things to dissect from what he said. Not ideal from what you want to hear from your GM. But we'll break all that down later on in the show. But we got Sean Hyken. He is a NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. He's going to hop on, talk everything Blazers between the Dame, trade rumors, what he sees for the Blazers future going forward. And then, of course, who's going to be the next coach? And we'll kind of hear what he has in mind and if there's any potential candidates that he might be hearing of or someone he would like to see take over the Blazers. So a lot of great stuff. Sean is one of the best in the biz. I love talking to him while we're at the Moda Center or whatever it is. We'll text. Obviously we'll send each other messages of, you know, what about this? What about that? He's a great, great guy. I'm so excited to have him on. So with that being said, I'm going to switch on over now to Mr. Sean Hyken. All right, you guys, it is time to bring in my man, Mr. Sean Hyken, NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. Sean, first of all, before we get going, man, we appreciate you hopping on. How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, Marcus. It's good to talk to you. This has been a little bit of an interesting, 7,200 hours, however long it's been since the season ended. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot to grasp, man. And so we could take any angle we want, but I think, first of all, for those of you who did not listen, Blazers GM Neil Olshey had a press conference yesterday. We're recording this on a Tuesday or midday. John, man, there's a lot to dig into in that in that press conference. It was an interesting one. I mean, I'll ask you the broad question first of all. I mean, what were your thoughts on that press conference?
Even by the standards of, and I've covered a lot of these Neil Olshey press conferences, whether they're after the draft or free agency or media day or exit interviews. I've seen a lot of these press conferences. Even by his standards, I've never seen him as defensive and combative as he was yesterday. He was just he came out swinging right from the beginning, making sure everybody knows that nothing that happened was his fault. Right. It was not on the roster. The bad defense that he pointed to a bunch of times, not on the roster. It was really a lot of throwing Terry Stotts under the bus. I mean, it just a whole lot of just making sure that everybody knows that none of this is anything that he could have done differently, which has just kind of been his MO for the entire, I mean, what is he's been here for 9 years now. And to be clear, I don't even necessarily disagree with the decision to move on from Terry Stotts, because I mean, if you put it like this, he was the fourth longest tenured coach in the league.
Right.
And the three coaches who had been where they are longer than him were Greg Popovich, Eric Spoelstra, and Rick Carlisle, all of whom have won championships, or in the case of Pop and Spo, multiple championships, but at least one. And with the Blazers, with Terry Stotts, had made one conference finals in 9 years with arguably a top 10 player in the league for a lot of that time. So I understand the decision to, say, look, it's been a great run with Terry Stotts. We're going to bring in a new voice now. I get that. Right. I'm not even necessarily against that move. But for Neil to then just sit there and say, our first round exit and our number 29th in the league defensive rating is not on the roster, when you have your starting backcourt is Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who are not good defensive players. Mm-hmm. You've got Robert Covington, who's one of the best help defenders in the league. He's not a great on-ball defender. They didn't really have any good on-ball perimeter defenders until they traded for Norm Powell halfway through the season.
Right.
Nurkic, their one good, you know, good defensive big, you know, either can't stay healthy or is in foul trouble a lot of the time. And then there are other front court players that get minutes are Enes Kanter and Carmelo Anthony, but no, the 29th in defensive rating. It's not on the roster. Don't look at Neil. It's not, you don't point to him. So there was a whole lot of that. And honestly, some of it I just thought was bizarre. Just some of the other stuff, like when I don't remember who it was that asked them that was asking the question about, you know, can you, you know, if assuming they bring Powell back, can they win with three small guards? And Neil was arguing about the semantics of whether Damian Lillard is a small point guard and, you know, saying that Dame is tired of the media narrative about three small points. He had a lot of references to the media and narratives that you guys are pushing, even though he only talks to us like once or twice a year, if that. So there was just a whole lot of deflection, a whole lot of making sure everybody knows that it wasn't his fault.
Right. I thought that was the most interesting thing too, was like, man, you know, I get it, right? It's not an easy position to be in. We're not in that position. But at the end of the day, too, like, you're a professional. We got to be professionals. So when you're asking, you know, questions and things like that, I think the biggest takeaway I had from that, I was really, like, sitting back and listening. And Sean, man, I was just like, there's no way this is really happening right now and he's really responding this way. You know, it was deflecting. It's not me. It's them, as in whoever them is. You know, it's just like, he couldn't take the blame for one thing. And I think especially with what the Blazers fans have been through and what everybody has seen from the Blazers in these past couple of seasons, it's just like, man, you know, just take the L, say the roster or whatever it was, we had to make a change because we just weren't taking the steps that we need to take. I will take the blame. I will do a better job. Let's move forward as a whole organization. You give us a basic broad answer like that. And I think a lot more people would say, okay, he's at least taking the blame. Now we can look forward and the spotlight wouldn't be on him. But it was the fact of it was like, everything is on everybody else. I have no part in this, even though I'm the GM. So we're going to try and move forward, but it's only if, you know, I could help push us forward through A, B, and C. And I was like, oh my goodness, man, come on. Like, give us a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Sean, I guess now moving forward, obviously Terry Stotts is gone. There were the end of the season, Game 6, after those post-game press conferences were just, some of them were pretty brutal, Nurk being one of them, saying, you know, he only wanted to return to the right situation and this, that, and the fifth. I mean, how do you see this roster shaking up going forward?
It's going to all depend probably on what Dame wants. Mm-hmm. If Dame decides, you know, we need to trade CJ to bring in somebody else or bring in a few other pieces and reshape the roster, then that's what's going to happen. I mean, we've kind of already seen Dame is going to have a lot of say over the next head coaching hire. And so it would stand to reason then that he's going to have a lot of say over, you know, who they go after as free agents, what kind of trades they target. To me, as far as, you know, guys who could be traded or, you know, moves that could be made, to me, anything but Dame is on the table. That includes CJ, that includes Nurk, that includes Covington. Maybe they re-sign Norman Powell, maybe they don't. But anything outside of Dame should at least be on the table, and you should be listening. There's nobody else besides Dame that's untradeable.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing. If you keep Dame, obviously, which is a big question, and we're going to get into that next, Sean, but I kind of had the same thing. I think everybody is available other than Dame. I think this is a time in Dame's career where not only has he earned the respect of everybody in the front office, but everybody in the league, you know, and these are the kind of guys where I think they should be able to call the shots. And I know a lot of people give LeBron a hard time saying he's GM LeBron. And if you play bad, LeBron's going to trade you away. But
right.
I mean, he's obviously had the amount of success he's had in his career because the front offices of whatever teams he played for respects what he has to say. And he's like, I will win you guys a championship or get you in a position to win a championship. But I need these kind of guys around me. And I don't understand why anyone would have a hard time with Dame saying that. I think he's paid his dues. I mean, he's been on some, not like they've been on terrible teams, but let's be honest. I mean, the Blazers first round exit after first round exit, it gets old after a while. And for someone like Dame who has the type of talent and performances that he's had, I mean, it's a respect thing at this point to say, let me call some of the shots. I think this guy would be really good to play with on my squad, or I want this guy because A, B, and C. I think he's earned that spot. So, you know, now, Sean, there's a big, there's a big thing on social media right now, and I'm not really hopping on this wave at all, but a lot of people are saying they might, you know, ask for a trade or be traded. I mean, have you heard anything about that? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't believe that he is at the point right now where he is going to ask for a trade right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I've ever believed that that is a possibility if things don't go the way that he wants them to go over right. The next couple of years. So there's a couple of things that we have to, you know, talk about here. One, that extension that he signed after the 2019 Western Conference Finals run is about to kick in now. He's under contract for 4 more years. So even if he does ask for a trade this offseason, they can just say, no, we're not going to trade you. Right. And he's under contract for 4 years. So he doesn't really have any leverage to do that. And just knowing Dame and the way that he's wired, even if he asked for a trade and doesn't get it, he's not going to do the James Harden thing or the Jimmy Butler thing or the Anthony Davis thing and try to make it into a distraction or make it into a problem for the organization. He's going to show up to work every day, stay in shape, keep playing hard, and then hope that eventually he'll get what he wants. I don't think he's really in a big position to force a trade for that reason. The other part of it is that if he wants a trade, he will want to trade to a contender. Look at all the top teams in the league. Which of them actually has something that they could offer Portland that's fair value for Dame? The Lakers have already, that kind of thing. If you're trading Dame, it would be to do an entire rebuild and, start from the ground up. The Lakers already traded all their future first round picks for Anthony Davis.
Right.
The Clippers already traded theirs in the Paul George, Kawhi Leonard deal from a couple summers ago. The Bucks traded all their picks for Drew Holiday. The Nets traded all their picks for James Harden. Like all of the best teams in the league, Miami doesn't really have a lot of picks. All the teams that you would think of as possible destinations, they don't really have anything to trade that's moving the needle for Portland. Like, there's all this talk that the Knicks are interested in him, but like, what are you going to take RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin as a trade for Damian Lillard? That's not going to happen. That's not something the Blazers are going to say yes to. And then the other thing to keep in mind, Marcus, is that the Blazers, there's a good chance that the Blazers are going to get sold in the next couple of years, because ever since Paul Allen died, his sister Jody has been running the team, and I don't think she's really interested in keeping the Blazers or the Seahawks long term. Right. So she's trying to find a buyer. Now, if you're a guy, if you're some billionaire trying to buy an NBA team in a small market, are you going to want to buy the team? You're going to probably want to pay more money for the team if they have somebody like Damian Lillard who sells tickets and sells jerseys and gets fans excited, versus if they have, if it's a team that's totally rebuilding and is in a market where you're not going to get a lot of free agents. Like, just for a lot of reasons, I don't see a Dame trade being realistic right now, whether he wants it or not. And I don't know if he does or not. I think right now he might be kind of sniffing around, at least, do I want to stay here? I think a lot of it is going to depend on what happens going forward. I mean, depending on the coach that they end up hiring, he kind of stuck his neck out for Jason Kidd, and that blew up in his face a little bit. He seems like Chauncey Billups, who is pretty strongly the front runner for the job right now, he would at least be okay with. I mean, they have some things in common. They both are point guards who kind of have this reputation as being, cerebral leader types. That's the kind of thing I could see Dame connecting with. But depending on who the next coach is, depending on what the roster moves are, I think Dame's first choice is still to win a title in Portland, right, as he's said the entire time. I just, I think at this point, after this playoff run where they were in such a good position, like, they easily could have made the conference finals this year because they, right, in the first round, and Dame has said this, Neil has said this, they went into that first round Denver series against a team that was missing Jamal Murray, their second best player, Will Barton, who's probably their third or fourth best player. They were just missing a lot of guys, and Portland had them, they were in a good position, and basically they had plenty of a couple of those games they lost. They were in a pretty good position to win at one point. Right. They could have won this series, and then they faced Phoenix in the second round. I mean, Phoenix looked really good last night in the first round of their series against Denver, but Phoenix is not an unbeatable team, and a team that Portland would have had no chance against. So there is a world in which the Blazers have made the conference finals, and then maybe Terry Stotts keeps his job, and then Dame is just happy to kind of keep everything going. But I think Dame saw that they came into that series against a shorthanded team where they should have been favored to beat them. And he played about as well as he could have, especially in that game 5, that double overtime game. and they still came up short. So him wanting to win a championship in Portland is all well and good, but I think he might be looking around at it now and saying, is that ever going to happen? Is that realistic? Is there any path for that happening? And he might be starting to realize that that's probably just not going to happen. I think what he wants is just a chance every year. And I think that he's starting to look around and realize maybe that them having a chance isn't even as realistic of a possibility as he maybe hoped it would have come. Because a couple of years ago when he signed that extension, they were coming off of that Western Conference Finals run. And it was very easy for him to kind of talk himself into, hey, you know, a couple things go our way, we're right there. Right. But now I think after, you know, the West is about as wide open as it's been this year. The Lakers weren't really a factor because of their injuries. Nobody at the top is really dominant, whether it's, you know, the Lakers or the Clippers or Phoenix or Utah. None of those teams are really dominant. The Blazers, if some breaks had gone their way, they could have been right there, but they weren't. And now I think Dame is looking at it and saying, yeah, I don't know about this long term. And so I think there's a chance that he ends up staying long term, but it's going to depend a lot on how the next couple of years go, both with results and with who the coach is and with roster construction. And after that press conference yesterday, I'm wondering if Dame really trusts Neil Olshey to be the guy that does it.
Right. And that's kind of, I think, what a lot of fans and outside folk, when they see that and they hear what Neil Olshey said, I mean, you have to, in some way be frustrated, because I mean, when I was watching that, I was like, man, if I was Dame, I'd be like, heck no. Like, why on earth would I stay if this is what my GM is going to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, take some blame, just like Dame takes some blame. You know, when they lost that Denver series, he flat out said, we didn't play good enough. He didn't put the blame on anybody else. He didn't say Nurk was fouling out every single game. He wasn't saying CJ didn't have his best series. He wasn't saying any of that. He just said, we didn't play good enough. You know, they were missing guys and they still beat us. Like, we were not good enough to win. So if you're Dame, you have to be frustrated. And I think I can completely understand that. Sean, before we get you out of here though, my man, I want to know what kind of players, or is there any prospects, I guess, that you see that the Blazers should maybe go after or that could help this roster?
I don't know about anybody specifically, but I will say I've been thinking about the CJ McCollum thing for the last couple of days. And I think that the idea of CJ getting you, you know, another star, whether, you know, a Ben Simmons or a Paul George or whatever the case may be, I don't think that's realistic. I think if they do make a big move like that, and any big move that they make would probably have to involve CJ, because it's like, you're not going to get a lot for like Derek Jones or Nasir Little or whatever. Any big trade is going to be CJ or Nurk. And I think it's more realistic to maybe get two or three guys kind of on mid-level salaries back for one of those guys, as opposed to it being a one-for-one thing where you trade CJ for Ben Simmons or whoever. And, you know, you heard Neil say yesterday that whoever the next coach is needs to figure out how to get better defensively with minimal roster changes. So that makes it sound like the plan is for them to just sort of make improvements around the margins, you know, swap out Robert Covington for another wing like they've been doing the last few years, you know, going from Aminu to Trevor Ariza to Covington, or swapping out the Derek Jones spot for something. Maybe you re-sign Norman Powell, maybe you sign and trade him for somebody. It sure sounds like Neil's plan is to just kind of keep this roster as is, make some kind of, you know, updates around the margins and bring in a new coach and hope that works. And I just don't think that's going to work out well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm trying to figure that out too. I'm trying to see what exactly would be a good roster, you know, good roster moves that they can have that can legit give them a shot. Because let's be realistic, you know, you look at this roster, okay, yes, it, you know, the West is wide open, but let's be honest, a healthy Lakers team, a healthy Phoenix team, healthy Clippers team, Jazz obviously are in the position they are at the one seed.
Denver, once Jamal Murray comes back too, yeah, they're going to be right there.
Denver, and then you look at a team like the Grizzlies, they're only getting better with how young their roster is. I mean, and then let's not forget Golden State, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson coming back. You know, I mean,
Dallas, if they could get Luka a little bit of better supporting cast, they're going to be right up there.
Exactly. So the West, while it's open, there's still a ton of talent. So if the Blazers want to stand a chance, I mean, realistically, they have to do something different, whether that be defensively or roster changes or something. But I feel like at this point now we can finally see the true frustration of Damian Lillard, because I think over the past couple of seasons, he's been a guy that's been, you know, he's an even killed guy. It's not like he's going to show his frustration off the field or off the court or anything like that and put the blame on anybody. But man, eventually you have to feel for him, you know, especially with seeing what he's been through these past couple of seasons. But Sean, my man, we could talk for hours, but that's all we have for you on this episode. But, man, I'm going to have to get you on again because you really killed that. His name is Sean Eichen. He's an NBA reporter for Bleacher Report. Sean, thank you so much for hopping on, my man. We appreciate it. We'll get you on again soon, all right?
Always good to talk to you, buddy. Take care.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Game On Podcast with your host, Marcus Greaves. I will talk to you guys next week.